In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, so today, I'm gonna make a deal with you. Make a deal. You remember those game shows, Let's Make a Deal? Let's Make a Deal. I'm gonna read you one verse from the Pauline epistle. Just one verse, okay? And if you can figure out why this verse is the theme of today's readings, and how it ties all the readings together, sermon is done. Sermon is done. We finish early, you get more time for coffee and hangout and stuff like that. Does that sound like a good deal? You get it wrong, I take as much time as I want.
Just one person?
Just one person has to get it right, okay? But of course, I'm the one who says if it's right or wrong, and I can... So today's Pauline epistle came from where? That's not the question, okay? That's the easy one. That's the one you already know the answer to. Came from where? It's always Hennick that answers. Anybody other than Hennick read the reading? Anyone else have a Bible other than Hennick? Anybody? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the verse that I want is actually from the very beginning, chapter or verse 2, okay, of this passage. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's the opening chapter of his letter to the Corinthians, the first letter he's written to them. So the first verse is not the verse, it's verse 2 I want to focus on. The first verse is really just introducing himself. Okay, but we're going to start with two, or we're going to read two. So one just says, my name is Paul, I'm called to be an apostle, I'm writing this with a guy named Sosthenes. That's verse one. Now the letter begins with verse two. It says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Again, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Someone tell me how that verse ties into the gospel we just read, actually all the readings, but just the gospel will start right there, and is our theme for today, which I think I'll tell you in a minute is the perfect theme that leads us, you know, Lent begins, next Sunday is the Sunday before Lent. So Lent begins a week from tomorrow. So the readings in advance of Lent are to prepare us for Lent, but usually we don't read this reading before Lent because usually Lent is earlier. Okay, so this is the fourth Sunday of Emshir. So usually Lent will begin, March 10th next week, March 11th. Usually it's like February 28th, March 2nd or something like that. So we usually don't get to this Sunday in the calendar. Okay, the Lent readings kind of overtake wherever it is. But I think this is the perfect way to kick off before Lent. Who can tell me what that verse says? Go ahead, Ephraim.
Is it because it's our inheritance?
Because it's our inheritance, okay. Not a bad answer, but not the one I'm looking for. Of course, now I'm nervous. If someone gets the right answer, what am I gonna do? Okay, when Abraham's gonna kill me, he's not gonna let me give the sermon again. Okay, that's good, but that's not. Go ahead, Dahlia. Let's see, this shows all the people who want to get out of here quick. That's just okay. Yeah, go ahead, Dahlia. Okay, we're all called to be saints like Zacchaeus. We're heading in the right direction. Okay, headed in the right direction. Okay, we're sanctified through Christ. Okay, good, but not exactly what I'm looking for. Did I see another hand? No?
That God wants to dwell in us.
All good answers, but not what I'm looking for. Okay, so the quiz is over right now, okay? What did he say? Actually, no, let me make sure you get the right answer. Unconditional acceptance of who?
Everyone.
Okay. The answer to the question, which expired before he said that last one, okay? there's four words right here that really touched me so much, and it took me forever to understand it. Which says, called to be saints, all in every place, call in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Both theirs and ours. Most of us, when we kind of were giving answers right now, I'm saying it's not bad, I'm just saying we were thinking, I heard a lot of we. But what this verse showed me, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. I think the focus for us today is that we're theirs. Both theirs and ours. Because what today's readings, not just the gospel, we'll start with the gospel, we'll kind of work our way backwards. The gospel showed us today, like we've all heard the story of Zacchaeus, the short little guy hiding up in the tree. Jesus said, come down, I stay at your house. He went to his house, threw a party. And then the Pharisees are like, why you go hang out with that guy? And we kind of read it and we're like, stick it to those Pharisees. Those Pharisees don't know what they're talking about. But let's understand something. Has anyone here, have you guys seen the Chosen, the show The Chosen? Okay, I'm a big fan of The Chosen. I don't think there was an episode on Zacchaeus, at least not that I've seen. I haven't seen them all. But why I'm a big fan of it? Because it helps us to understand the context in which Jesus lived. Because we sometimes, I don't know what the right word is, we supermanize Jesus a little bit too much. Okay, we supermanize him. Meaning, like Jesus Christ, we know, is fully God and fully man. Fully God and fully man. Fully God and fully man. And fully God, at the beginning of when the church first started, that was the teaching that was fought against. So a lot of heresies were around fully God. That Jesus can't be God. Because we saw him, we ate with him, he can't be God. That's why they wrote the creed, no. He's light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created. He's God. Church established, he's fully God. But then I believe, my personal opinion, the heresy of today, we're much less likely to not believe he's fully God. We much more struggle with the fully man part. And that's why I like The Chosen. It shows us the humanity of Jesus. And it shows us the human context. And it shows us that when Jesus went to Zacchaeus, and he went to his house, oh my goodness, all the people, this was unheard of, that Jesus would go and spend time at the house of somebody who was so vile and so hated and so ostracized by society. And Jesus says, look here, my father is your father, but he's also his father. My father is your father, but he's also his father. Jesus Christ is our Lord, but he's also their Lord. And there you can fill in the blank of whatever it is, whatever group, whatever person, whatever subcategory that you see as unacceptable to God. Because that's who Zacchaeus was. I'll tell you what, let's pause Zacchaeus for a second, because I'll get you more unacceptable to God. What was the Matins reading this morning other than Henick? What was the Matins gospel this morning? Who said what? The lepers. Okay? It was when Jesus, okay, I'm gonna actually bring it to you. It was Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Again, picture the story. Okay, do you guys know what lepers means? Lepers were unclean. Lepers were people, you know, if a leper was walking down the street, and again, in The Chosen, it showed this in one of the episodes. When a leper would walk down the street, a leper was required by law to scream, leper coming, leper coming, leper coming. He was required because no one wanted to even be in the same room, much less on the same street, much less breathe the same air as a leper. Lepers were, yuck. Remember how we treated people with COVID? We treated people with COVID who we knew was going to go away after a few days. And we threw them down there like that. This is leprosy. These people, as far as they were concerned, were cursed by God. And Jesus did what with the lepers? I'm going to read Jesus. Now what happened? This is Luke 17, verse 11. He went to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Afar off, because they are not allowed to get close. So standing from like me to the back of the room, standing afar off. 10 men who were lepers. How would anybody else on the planet react when they saw the 10 men who were lepers? Walked in the room, saw the 10 men who were lepers. Thank you so much. And go back this way. And who else would do that? Me and you would do that. Let's be honest. So me and you would do. We walk in, turn around the other way. Walk through the city, this way. What did Jesus do? 10 of them as well, not just one. 10 of them breathing their leper cooties everywhere. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I'll read to you what it says. But before I read what it says, what do you think the religious leaders would have said? What do you think that the noble people would have said? Have mercy on us, They say, you, I have nothing to do with you. But Jesus, when he saw them, said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Our message for today, which I'll show you why in a second, it's important to, as we start Lent, approach Lent. Our message for today is very simple, is that God is my Father. He is your Father, but he's also their Father. And he's also their Father, and he's also their Father. And we focus so much, okay, the lepers, for example, that this person is unclean. So if this person comes here, they're gonna defile me with their uncleanness. But the lepers didn't make Jesus unclean, Jesus made them clean. The leprosy, because Jesus is, like, I think of it as light and darkness. The darkness, if it comes near the light, it will not put the light out. The light will put it out. So if we have, okay, a room over there that's full of darkness, and we open the door, and the darkness is gonna attack us, no, don't open the door, because if you open the door, the darkness is gonna kill us in the light. No, it's not the opposite. If you open the door, the light's gonna kill the darkness. Jesus can't be defiled by sickness because he is the healing of the world. So he's the one who brings healing to the sick. Why this is important for us as a church, especially as we approach Lent? Because when we approach Lent, there's something that I hate more than anything else, and I don't know what the right word for it is, but there's a spiritual selfishness that sometimes occupies us, the believers, when Lent comes. No, no, leave me alone, I'm fasting. No, no, I can't help you, I'm busy praying. No, 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 get out of my face. Don't you know I have spiritual things to do, you no good. What? And sometimes we become very spiritually selfish, very spiritually self-focused. And I've told you this before, I've said it 100 times. The death of any church is selfishness. Just like the death of any family is selfishness, just like the death of any individual is selfishness. When there's selfishness, maybe a better word, self-focus, that's the death. So if our church is only focused on, hey, everybody, we need to pray, don't worry about anybody else. We just need to worry about ourselves. Make sure your kids take care of yourselves. Close, batten down the hatches. Okay, protect ourselves. That's the death of the church. Just like the death of my family is if I'm like, I don't care about your kids. I only care about my kids. That kid over there, thank God it's not my kid. I don't care about them. I only care about my kids. That's the death of my family and my kids. That's the death of my family and my kids. And same thing with my personal, my soul. When I say I don't care about anybody else other than me, that's the death of me. Because Jesus is love, God is love, and love obviously is selfless. So what I think our message, whether it was Zacchaeus, whether it was these lepers, is that Jesus is the Lord of us, but he's also the Lord of them. The only difference between us and them, the only difference between us and them is what? The only difference between us and them is what? Only difference between us and them. And think of the person who you'd classify as the them. The unacceptable, the very bad, the whatever it may be, that they don't belong here. The only difference between us and them is what? Grace of God. Grace of God. And if you don't believe me, I'll make you priest for a couple weeks. Okay, you walk in the shoes that I walk in and talk to the people that I talk to, and you see that there's nobody who's better than anybody else. There's nobody who's better. There's just some people, grace of God has protected them from certain things. There's some people who have mental illness. They didn't choose it. They didn't do anything about it. They just got it. That's their thing. They're unacceptable to you. Their behavior is unacceptable to you. It's the grace of God that you didn't have that. That's just the hand they were dealt. We're not judging them. We're here to help them. There's some people who grew up in single family homes or grew up in two family homes, but with an abusive whatever it is, or an absent whatever it is, or an angry whatever it is, and that's how they grew up, and that's how they behave. And that's not anything that's them, that they didn't choose them. That's how they grew up. And that could be me or you. You, great, by the grace of God, you grew up fantastic. You grew up in church. God bless. By the grace of God. But I'll tell you what, these lepers, let's go to the lepers. They didn't choose their leprosy. They didn't choose to say, I would like to be a leper. It landed upon them, and they didn't land upon it. Same thing with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had a different hand dealt in life. Okay? He was short. The Bible says that. It points out the fact that he was a short little guy. He didn't choose that. He was dealt a hand. I'll tell you something. Just yesterday, we have this ancient faith class that we're doing in Arlington. And yesterday, I was talking about life after death and what happens after we die. And of course, after we die, there's a lot of things that we don't know. which makes it, by the way, the easiest subject to talk about because no one can say I'm wrong because nobody knows, okay, so I can just say whatever I want. We were talking about judgment, okay, and I said it's very important that when we talk about life after death, let's talk about what is going to happen that we know about from Scripture, from the writings of the fathers, what we know is going to happen, but we are never, ever, ever going to assume who it's going to happen to. So we know what? We know the saints will be received in glory. We know those who, we know what? We don't know who. We don't know who. We're never going to choose who. We're just going to say what. And then we're all going to strive and say, we're going to get on that road because we want that what more than that what, or that what, or that what. That's what we want. We're not going to say who. And I'll tell you my personal belief. My personal belief. This is not doctrine. This is not theology. This is just, is that every soul will be judged based on one criteria. And that criteria is one's response to the work of God in their life. That's it. Every soul will be judged based on their response to the work of God in their life. And notice even when I say life, I don't even know when that life ends. Because even after people depart, there's stories of people who are, you know, terrorists and unbelievers, what it is, and they never knew anything. They never knew anything about it. Nobody ever told them anything. And then on their deathbed, okay, they're received and they see, okay, and they interact with God. And don't ask me to draw a picture of what that looks like. But they see God face to face, because all will see the face of God. All will see the face of God. And that person's response to what they see, that's the deal right there. So it's not like, did they live the way I lived? Did they meet my criteria? Did they fast? That's not. It's one's response to the work of God in their life. So I'll tell you, for me, I don't know the work of God in your life. I know it in my life. And I know God has worked a lot in my life. A lot. So I think God has a very high bar for me because he has worked a lot. He gave me the best parents. He gave me the best church. He gave me the best congregation. Like, gave me the best of everything. God gave me the best. So I know God has worked mightily in my life. So therefore, God is expecting X for my life. But others, God has worked in a different way. So God is not expecting the same thing. So why should I? I'm going to read you from the Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles came from what book today? Acts of the Apostles. Okay, very good. Just listen here about how Jesus was the ultimate, I don't know what the right word is, broke all the cultural and social norms. Probably a word for that. Nonconformist. But doesn't it have a negative connotation? Okay, so I don't mean like, he wasn't an anarchist. Okay, that's not what I mean. Or he wasn't like a rebel. But meaning like, the stream was going this way, and he was not afraid to swim against the stream. Okay, but nonconformist means someone who swims against the stream just because they want to fight. Okay, probably a red personality. Okay, what usually that means to me. But meaning someone who did the right thing, even if it was against the society. That's what I'm trying to say. And his disciples followed suit. Acts chapter 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Right off the bat, Philip is saying, go to Samaria. Before that, no Samaritans. Samaritans are the worst. But Samaritans, he's our Lord and their Lord. The Samaritans, he's their Lord just as much as ours. Multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he had did. So the people in Jerusalem would say, those people, those Samaritans, they're bad, they're bad, they're bad, they're bad. Philip went, preached Christ, and they're like, oh, why didn't anybody tell us? This is great. And they heeded the things, and they're believers, because he's their father just as much as he's mine. And then unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Oh my goodness, look at the work. This expression is not saying it literally, but just understand me. When this is where people are starting, the work of God here is incredible. There's so much work to be done. When the people are starting here, when they're unclean and they're demon-possessed and they're paralyzed, and then Christ comes, oh my goodness, the potential. There was great joy in the city. Now watch this. Now there was a certain man named Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Here you have a guy named Simon who's a sorcerer. Everyone said, he's God. Worship him. He did magic. He did all kinds of stuff. Is this guy acceptable to God or not acceptable? This guy, you would say to your children, stay away from that guy. And children, you should stay away from him. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Okay? Stay away from that guy. That guy's dangerous. That guy's bad. Philip went and preached him the gospel. And what happened when Philip preached him the gospel? And they heeded him because he's... Then Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized. And he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. You know what it means? That he continued... Simon believed, he was baptized, and he continued with Philip. What does continued with Philip mean? Huh? Yeah, he became his disciple. He became a missionary. He became a preacher. You see what I'm saying? In the beginning, we would have said, Simon, you're the sorcerer. You're over there. I'm over here. God is our father. He's not your father. God says, no. I'm his father just as much as yours. And in fact, I think if Jesus were there in the day, I think if Jesus were here today, I think Jesus would stand next to him on this side. So I'm his father. And you don't accept that, then you're out of the family. I don't think Jesus would stand with us and say, no, please, let him in. Please, he belongs. I don't think he would, because he didn't. Jesus said, that's how you guys are? I'm with him. I'm with Zacchaeus. Y'all don't accept it, you don't accept me. I'm with Zacchaeus. I'm with Levi, the tax collector. You don't accept Levi, then you don't have any part with me. I'm with the Samaritan woman. I'm with the demon-possessed lady. I'm with all the crazy people. I'm with the leper people. That's what I'm with. I'm with them. And if you're not with them, and you don't accept them, you don't accept me. One more verse and then I'm done. The Psalm. From Psalm 23, which is Psalm 22, but different memory in the Hebrew. It says, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and all who dwell therein. The world and all who dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's in its fullness, the world and all who dwell therein. I pray. There's a lot of things I told y'all. I pray for the church. But there's a lot of things that you might be surprised that I don't pray about as much as other things. The one thing that I pray more than anything else is that we would never be a selfish church. That we would never be a me-focused church. Me, my kids, my family, my friends, the people who fit with me. Church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, the arms of Christ, are open for everybody. Everybody. So stop asking yourself, who is it that belongs here? And instead, ask yourself, who is it that needs to be here? Who is it that's like a Zacchaeus, who is a child of the Most High, but just doesn't know it yet? Who's like the lepers, who is beautiful in the eyes of God, but they just need somebody to tell them that? That's who we need to be inviting to church. That's who this church is built for. If this church is, if those people aren't coming here, then I don't know what we're doing. Then we're not Christ. We're not Christ because everywhere Christ went, he attracted people who needed to know that they belong, needed to know they were loved. That's who Christ attracted. And that's my prayer. That's my prayer for Leesburg Church. Arlington as well, but I'm saying specifically here. That's my prayer, is that this will be a place. It's a place that we meet our friends. Great. A place that we love to see. Great. Place that we get coffee. Great. Love all that. But all that is for the mission and for the purpose of one thing, to be Christ in this world. And everywhere we go, we are the arms of Christ. You see someone at your work and you say, I'm telling you, Christ has his arm around that person. Christ weeps for that person. Last thing I'll say. I said that was the last verse, but it's the last thing, okay? You didn't get the question right, so I mean, I told you I take as much time as I want. I was having chatting with someone on Friday who's also in the ministry field. He's like a missionary and he does different things. And we were talking about how ministry, being in the ministry, there's a deception that we could all fall into. And the deception is that it becomes about me, which is like, I like having congregation, I like preaching, So I kind of build a ministry around like what I like. And this is what I like. I don't really like those people. I don't feel comfortable. So let's keep it to the people that I like. Let's just kind of I. And what he and I were saying about is that when we get to the end, okay, the last thing that I want is to stand in front of God and say, God, you didn't care about what I cared about. You didn't help me in my ministry. You didn't. And then to hear God say, you didn't care about what I care about. You cared about what you cared about, and you kept praying that I would care about what you care about, that I would care about your job, that I would care about your family, that I would care, and you never once asked me, God, what do you care about? What do you care about, God? And if we ask God that question, of course God cares about all of our needs. We cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. But what God cares for is that the earth is the Lord's, all its fullness, all the people in the world belong to God. Okay, he is the Father of everyone. He is our Lord, and he is their Lord. And I pray that, especially as we approach Lent, but even beyond Lent, okay, that we never have the mentality that God is for us and it's all about me and me and me and me. May God give to us to always be outward focused, okay, mission-minded, okay, people, because that's when we truly are the body. That's when someone can look and say, that's Christ. That what I see there is Christ. I see open arms for those who are most in need. Glory be to God forever. Amen.